Hey, gang.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to National Bugle Radio on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN.org. That's how you can support this show, is go to RBN.org and click on the donate button and send a few shekels this way. And today is Monday. Monday is my favorite day of the week because we have Mark Collette from Great Britain on Mondays. Mark, welcome to the show. Okay, he is with us, but I don't hear him quite yet. I was just talking to him a couple minutes ago. Today we're going to be talking about a couple of issues. We're going to start off with... Hi, Mark!
Hello! How are you doing, Patrick? Sorry about that. For some reason, it didn't let me join initially, but now I'm here. Can you hear me okay?
Now you're here. Well, that's great. Yeah, so I was just saying, I introduced you, and we are going to talk about a couple of issues today. One... on Friday I have a weekly financial market show that's pre-recorded, and so we didn't address the timely news issues. On Thursday might have addressed the Florida school shooting on this show, but I want to make sure we talk about that. And then, of course, there's that cultural phenomenon known as the Black Panther, the movie. So those are a couple of things I wanted to discuss. I thought maybe we could start with the school shooting. And, you know, we had this shooting, as everybody's aware of, where, 17 people have died in Florida. And, you know, there's certain things we know about the shooter. We can talk about what we know about the shooter. But, of course, every time there's a shooting, there are big pushes for gun control, which, frankly, never go anywhere. But there are the pushes, and we hear them. Now, the United States is a country. It's got the Second Amendment. It's a country that was, nowadays we're called by our noble rulers a nation of immigrants. But we used to be called a nation of, frontiersmen. And... that we were a nation of pioneers. We're taming the frontier, and with a gun at our side, with our rifle, with our musket. So the history of the United States is very much wrapped up with the gun in a way that Britain's not. And of course, in Britain, I'm not sure to what extent it's still true, but the bobbies, the police did not carry firearms. So Britain's a country with far less firearms, and therefore, because we know that guns create violence, the UK must be a country with no violence, right?
Oh, the UK is completely peaceful and harmonious, multicultural utopia, Patrick. I mean, we have completely eradicated violence by importing millions of non-white immigrants, but simply banning guns. I mean, as I'm sat here now, I'm just basking in the glory of it all. Obviously, for those who don't know me, that's sarcasm. The UK's got a major problem with violent crime, and despite not having so much of a gun problem, because obviously we have outlawed handguns, and there's very strict controls on rifles and shotguns, although many people in the countryside do still have a firearms license. I know plenty of people with shotgun and rifle licenses because they live on farms. So that is common in the countryside. However, we do have a huge problem with violent crime, and it was just the other week that the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, a Muslim, he said quite openly that he cannot solve London's knife problem. We can't solve the knife problem in London because it's so great. There's so many stabbings. There's so much violence. And getting rid of guns certainly hasn't reduced the level of violent crime in our capital or in our country, really. And you see in the UK specifically that it might not be gun crime, but we have seen an horrific rise in something that's arguably worse than gun crime, which is, of course, these horrific acid attacks. Mm-hmm. And it was just the other day a newspaper said, you know, London isn't just Britain's capital, it's Britain's acid capital because of the number of these horrific attacks that are taking place and the fact that they're, you know, skyrocketing. So we haven't forged a peaceful society. But my take on America is actually quite interesting, because I've looked at gun legislation in the US over the last 40 or 50 years, and I can safely say, and I hope you'll agree with me, and if I'm wrong, please point out where I am wrong, that gun legislation in America is now more stringent than it's ever been. Gun control's more stringent, and the drive to keep people away from firearms is stronger than it's ever been. But despite gun control being stronger, despite, you know, laws being more stringent, despite there being greater control over firearms, there are more shootings. There is more criminality. So it can't be guns that are causing the problem. If guns are harder to get hold of than ever before, then what is the problem? I mean, I've seen pictures of youths, teens, biking to school in America in the 50s and 60s with their rifles on their shoulders because there were shooting clubs at schools. It was a common sight to see American youths going to school with their rifle to partake in clubs that involved shooting. It was seen as just a regular pastime. Now schools have metal detectors on them. And you've seen these huge changes, but if anything, guns are harder to get hold of. So it's not been an increase in guns. It's not been a relaxation of gun laws, which has led to an increase in shooting. Mm-hmm. So what is it? Well, I would argue that we have seen a massive degradation of the mental state within Western countries, specifically America being one of the worst. You know, we've got this media, we've got Hollywood, we've got the destruction of the nuclear family, the promotion of homosexuality as a norm, the promotion of this gender fluid poison on young people. We've had the family unit broken up. We've destroyed our religious institutions. We've removed discipline from the home and from the school. And if you take all of these swirling influences, add in the violence, the perversity, the pornography pushed by the media, pushed by Hollywood, pushed by the internationalists, and then when you've got that heady mix and that concoction, sprinkle in a few mainstream pharmaceutical companies, some psychotropic drugs, an increase in the use of drugs like cocaine, marijuana, and prescription medication as well. And you've really got this rather explosive mixture, which has actually destroyed the stable mind of Western people. People are no longer well-adjusted. They're no longer the kind of people that you would trust with a firearm. So it's not really the firearm's fault. It's the change in society. And really, if it's the change in society, we have to look at whose fault that is. And it's always the left and the liberals and the media that are clamoring to control firearms, to outlaw guns. But when you look at it, it's actually them who have brought about the changes which have destroyed the mindset of Western people.
Well, indeed, you know, in social science, we talk about causation. We talk about, you know, looking at links between two events, two phenomenon, and is something necessary? Is something sufficient? Well, if we're going to be classifying this as shootings, mass shootings, looking at it as shootings per se, well, guns would certainly be a necessary component. Are they sufficient? Well, as you pointed out, we've had guns for generations and generations, and we have not had this mass shooting phenomenon for generations and generations, because now it's every month or two we're having some sort of mass shooting, and it used to almost never happen. You just did not hear of it before, so it's become quite commonplace. So it's certainly not sufficient. In the past, you had just as much penetration of guns, and even, as you pointed out, laxer gun laws, and yet you didn't have the common everyday shootings like you do now. Now, of course, if you were to talk about not mass shootings, but murder and violence in general, and you're pointing out that other weapons can be used, even for mass killings. Think of the Birmingham bombing of the Ariana Grande concert, or recently in New York, you had somebody drive a car into a crowd. And this happens. And even in countries with very strict gun control, like Japan, from time to time, not very often, but from time to time, there will be a mass killing. Somebody drives a car into a crowd or goes into an old folks' home with a knife and kills a bunch of people. This happens. It's quite rare, but it can happen without guns. It can happen without guns. So guns are, for if you're looking at shootings, they're necessary. If you're looking at mass killings, they're actually not necessary and certainly not sufficient. And you're pointing out that there's been changes in society. And again, I'll go back to the Japanese example. While it happens in Japan, it's probably about as rare in Japan now as it was in America 50 years ago. It's not at all common there. What's happened in America? You've had this complete disintegration of society, and you've touched on probably the most important points. You've touched on the disintegration of the nuclear family, where you have, I know certainly among blacks, the out of wedlock births are more than 3 out of 4. It's a clear majority with Hispanics, and it's even fairly common with whites. And when you consider that whites are a minority in maternity rooms and delivery rooms, I would imagine that out of wedlock births, if they're not a majority in the United States now, they're pretty close to being a majority. You've had this disintegration. And then also mental health. I just pulled up an article from between 1999 and 2012, the percentage of Americans on antidepressants, which is just one kind of psychotropic drug, that's gone up from 6% to about 13%. And I would imagine in the intervening 7 years or 6 years since that was compiled, it's probably gone up that much more. You've got 5% of working age adults in America on disability. And I know from experience that is mostly psychological disability. It is just a complete destruction and disintegration of the fabric of our society. And yeah, if you were somehow able to magically wave a wand and remove all the guns, you wouldn't have the shootings. Some of the people would figure out other ways to kill, and some wouldn't. But by the same token, if you were to suddenly remove the guns from all of the law-abiding people, the criminals would still have guns. They'd find.
Well, they still do in the UK. And you pointed out so rightly that here in the UK, we have a huge problem with people driving trucks into people, hire cars, people throwing caustic chemicals in people's faces. We've seen a growth in terrorism, in people concocting these horrible bombs out of nails, out of household goods, household cleaners, detergents, fertilizers. And you've got to ask yourself the question, are you going to start banning those? Are you going to start regulating the sale of nails? I mean, we in the UK regulate now the sale of knives. You can't go into a shop and buy a kitchen knife without having to show identity.
Yeah, I remember once I was in Tokyo and I was riding a subway, and some skirmish broke out. It's not at all common, but I did see a skirmish break out, and I got in the middle and broke it up. And I wasn't worried about that. Now, if I was at an American McDonald's and some people started getting into it, I would think, well, I don't want to get shot getting in the middle of it. So, you know, I actually do appreciate, I think living in a society where you don't have to worry about people having guns is nice. It's never going to happen in the United States. There's what path between our status quo and a gun-free society is there that doesn't go through complete like civil war? And I mean, it's just a pipe dream to think that you could get from where we are in the United States with hundreds of millions of guns out there to a situation like Japan. And then, of course, even if you did get to the situation like Japan in terms of guns, we'd still have our mental health issues. We'd still have the disintegration of society, and you'd probably wind up with a lot of acid and nail bombs and trucks of peace. Don't you think so?
Well, I of course I agree with everything you're saying. I mean, for me, when I look at gun ownership, if you trust your population with guns, you are saying that you have a high trust, high IQ, cohesive, homogenous society that works well together, and people trust each other with firearms. It's a mark of a developed society, trusting your people with guns. If you cannot trust the population with firearms, then unfortunately, you are making a bold statement that the public is no longer what you would call a cohesive, high-trust, high-IQ society. In fact, it is a step towards stating that you are living in an explosive society where people simply don't get on, are on balance, not of the correct mental ability to understand or to handle a firearm. At which point, if you've gone from the former to the latter, you have to look at how you got there. You have to say to yourself, well, we were a society where we could trust everyone. We are now not a society where we can trust everyone. And at that point, there are obvious problems in your society. And as far as I can see, in America, these problems have come about because of the people that are actually calling for gun legislation. Mm-hmm. The people saying the loudest that we need gun legislation in the States are in fact the people who have created the situation where you see an increased number of mentally ill individuals, where you see people who no longer believe in America as a society. They no longer see a community. And all of these problems come from the media. They come from the left. They come from this attack on our civilization. And those that have pushed for this attack are now saying, ooh, you know, we need to regulate firearms. Well, to me, that seems almost as if these people have plotted this. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They have plotted our demise, and now they're taking away people's first and foremost form of defense. And when they do that, the only two sets of people with the guns will be the government, who mm-hmm. we do not trust, mm-hmm. and the criminals, who we do not trust. So you have the people in between the government and the criminals, the law-abiding citizens, and they will be the only ones who don't have guns. They will be the only ones who can't defend themselves. And that's what we have here in the UK.
Okay,
we have
a situation. When we get back, because we are going to the break, but I believe we're going to the break. Once we get back, we'll need to talk about that.
Okay.
Okay.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality. There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com. Educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included, American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
National Bugle Radio with Patrick Battery and Mark Collette. And Mark, you made a point in the last segment that I never really heard made like that. And it was that we have a leadership that does not trust its population. And I'd never heard anybody put it like that. And I think it is really, really key that we have, or that our government doesn't trust the population. Now, if you think, has it always been like that? Well, clearly, when Madison and, the founding fathers were drafting the Constitution and they put in the Second Amendment, they clearly trusted the population with guns. Even though, at that time, the vote, the franchise, was restricted, gun ownership wasn't. They trusted the population with guns, even though they didn't particularly want the population involved in making the laws, but they trusted them with guns. That is a high level of trust. And we were talking about the degradation of our population through drugs, through out-of-birth wedlocks, through all sorts of other means. But I think what's really changed is not the population, the population, the demographics are changing, but what's really changed is our rulers. We had rulers who, for whatever faults they may have had, did trust the population with guns for, a couple of centuries, but has been replaced. I think what we're really seeing is the replacement of one set of elites with another. You have this hostile elite, this Zygarchy, largely made up of a Jewish elite that Kevin McDonald describes as a hostile elite. And this new elite does not trust the population with guns. And, you know, I think your point, I've never heard it made like that, but I think that's really, really important.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I think the reason that the American establishment used to trust the people wasn't just a matter of them trusting the people, but it was also a matter of them loving the people. And that's important as well, because if you think of the relationship between government and the people, think of your relationship between yourself and your partner. Now, I'm not married, I don't have children, so, you know, some people may say I'm not a relationship expert, but I kind of am because I've been in enough of them. I have never been sort of bereft of female companionship. But I can honestly say, hand on my heart, that one of my first bits of advice to anyone in a relationship with a female would be, if you don't have trust, you don't have a relationship. And if you had a relationship and you had trust and that trust breaks down, it means that you don't have a relationship any longer. And if you sort of take that point and apply it to the government, I believe the founding fathers loved the American people and they loved America. And that is reflected in their trust, in them saying to the people, we trust you, we love you, we are there for you. We are your representatives. We trust you with firearms. However, the elites now neither trust us nor love us. And that is reflected in the fact that they believe they should have guns. They should have power. They should have access to people with weaponry. But we shouldn't have any. We, in fact, are less. We are not to be trusted. We are not on an equal footing. We are their subjects and they are our rulers. And that, maybe we're getting a little bit too philosophical here, mm-hmm. but I genuinely look at it in that manner. And when we talk about those who are now in control of America, in control of the Western world, it would come as no shock to anyone who listens to this show regularly, to say that those people are our enemies. I mean, in my book, The Fall of Western Man, I openly call these people the enemies of the West. I make no bones about that and make no apologies for calling those people the enemies of the West. These people are not our friends, and we are not in a trusting and loving relationship with them. If anything, you could, if we're talking about relationships and carrying on this train of thought, you could say it's an abusive relationship, mm-hmm. because we are the ones who are always on the back foot. They are the ones who are always taking. We are the ones always giving. And in fact, we are giving more than we can afford to take, because we are giving not only huge sums of money, but we are giving our country, which our forefathers built, and we are even giving our racial individuality. We are losing what makes us who we are. Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking as a former professor, I would like to say, if there are any students, graduate students even, out there listening, the issue of the trust the government has in their population make a great topic for research paper, even a dissertation. So think about that. We'll be back after the break and we'll go into a whole new topic.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome back. So, Mark, I really enjoyed this first half of the show, but we're going to switch gears now, and we're going to get in our magic flying lion skins or whatever they are, and we're going to fly off to Wakanda, to this magical high-tech world of Wakanda.
I'm looking forward to that, Patrick. Well, I can announce this is an exclusive on your show, Patrick, that I am actually going to watch this film tonight. I'm going to see The Black Panther tonight. I haven't seen it yet, but I will be seeing it tonight, and there will be a full Mark Collett review on my YouTube channel on Thursdays as my weekly podcast. Well, but I can say, before seeing it, I don't think I've ever seen so much ridiculous hype for a superhero film before. Not even for, like, you know, there was The Dark Knight, which obviously was probably one of the finest films ever made. It was Heath Ledger's most notable and moving performance, and obviously he died shortly after that. So that it carried a lot of weight simply because of that. But it's a magnificent film, you know, not just from the point of the performances, but from the direction, the score, the artistic tone, and the writing. I mean, I was genuinely on the edge of my seat throughout that. Then, of course, the other massive superhero film, which had huge weight behind it, was The Avengers, because in the Marvel Universe, that saw the coming together of Thor, Hulk, Iron Man, Captain America, and of course supporting characters like Nick Fury, the Black Widow, and Hawkeye. And there was huge push behind that too. Now, both of those films delivered I really liked both, and for different reasons. But this film, this has seen a much bigger push, and the sort of critical response to it has been so fawning that you've actually seen a few critics who've dared buck the trend and say, well, it's a decent film, but it's not spectacular, or even it's padded in sections, it's basically just a regular superhero film, I don't see what all the fuss is about. These people have actually been attacked, and I can only believe that that level of hysteria is down to the sole fact that it is being touted as the first black superhero film, which it of course is not. I mean, Wesley Snipes was in the Blade trilogy years and years before. No one made a big fuss about it. It was just a black superhero. And they were successful films. They were quite good. The first was good. The second was very good. And the third was a bit of a miss. But often that's the case with trilogies. They sort of seemed to lose steam after number two, which was one of the odd things with the Batman trilogy, in that the third was not as good as the second, but still a stellar film. But this, the push behind it's immense. And also the social narrative that's going with this, because obviously it's based around a fictional state in Africa called Wakanda, which is the most technologically advanced city in the world. It's so advanced that they have to hide themselves behind a cloaking device so that white people can't discover them, and no one else can because they have to hide their technology so the world can't abuse it. And I find this hilarious. You know, I find it just nonsensical. And the advanced screenings, I've seen pictures from the advanced screenings where blacks are jumping out of their seat and saluting the film as if it's real, as if it's, you know, as if it's a genuine achievement. You know, I can genuinely understand as well blacks maybe jumping out of their seat and sort of being yay when a Usain Bolt, you know, breaks a world record, or when something of genuine, like say an African team won the World Cup, an African football team won the World Cup, I could understand them being like, yeah, this is a big thing for Africa. You know, it's always been, because the only teams that have ever won a World Cup have been either South American or European. No one's ever won a World Cup outside of that. And if Africa finally did that, if a team like, you know, Nigeria, you know, broke that mold and actually won a World Cup, that would be something big. But this is just science fiction. This would be like white audiences, you know, saluting the Starship Enterprise. It's just nonsense.
Yeah, it is nonsense, and it's kind of, if you're really thinking, if you're a black, a thinking black, and I don't want to say that in a condescending way, but it would be humiliating. It should be humiliating that the one technologically advanced black country would be the figment of the imagination of some Jewish comic book writer. It illustrates the complete failure of Africans and the African diaspora of building societies that anybody would want to live in, even themselves.
It goes a bit deeper, really, doesn't it, Patrick? I mean, the way they've portrayed Wakanda in this, I mean, it's like, there's, in one hand, it's high technology, but then on the other hand, the statues of, you know, panthers and, you know, people walking down the street with those giant necklaces that stretch your neck, you know, with the rings and, you know, and then people with spears. And really, if somebody on the right had portrayed an advanced African society as people walking down the street, you know, streets lined with statues of panthers holding spears with gold rings around their neck, I think that would be seen as a racist epitaph.
Did any African tribes stretch their necks? That's Burma. There's a tribe that does.
I believe some do. But that's one of the things that I've seen in the trailers, these shaven-headed black women with spears, and their necks stretched with these rings around their neck. And to me, it almost seems as if the people who have made the film have almost turned Africans into sort of a caricature, you know, because really when you look at advanced societies generally do away with their more primitive aspects. You know, the more primitive aspects of an advanced society are, you know, relics of their past. But this seems very much as if they've kind of tried to merge certain buildings from the City of London, like the Gherkin or the Spire, you know, with a bit of rainforest, you know, and then a drop ship, a very advanced kind of drop ship, will come down from the sky, and people will come out in traditional African dress with spears, and it's almost a little bit
self-mutilation, like the intentional scarring that you see. I think one of the lead characters has his body all scarred up in geometric designs. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Yeah, I've seen that too. Yeah, I've seen that too. And you sort of see that and you think to yourself, it's kind of like somebody depicting, you know, a Scandinavian sort of country in the future with, you know, aeroplanes vertically taking off and flying off towards the moon base as they all drink from mead horns, you know, with Viking tattoos down their backs, you know, on display. And it would look kind of a little bit silly. It would look, you know, a little bit jarring. And I kind of, when I see this, you sort of think, why are these people cheering this? Because it doesn't actually look like an advanced society. It looks almost like a mockery of an advanced society, as if somebody's sort of, you know, it's a bit tongue-in-cheek, like, oh, well, this is what an advanced society would look like if you imagined it in Africa. It's not really what an advanced society looks like at all.
Mm-hmm. There was a movie in the 1980s called The Gods Must Be Crazy. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It was a South African movie, and it took place in Botswana for the most part. And it was about a band of bushmen, a small bushman family, and they came across a Coke bottle, which had been thrown out of a bush plane, a bush airplane, and they had never seen anything like it. And it was the modern world invading their little space, and they had been completely content until this, but then they get invaded by modernity in the form of this Coke bottle, and they started fighting over the Coke bottle because you could use the Coke bottle for all sorts of things. And then finally the patriarch of the band decided that he was going to go and give this Coke bottle back to the gods because they must be crazy. And so he goes on this trek. And you know,
what's that film called? I'm gonna have to see
The Gods Must Be Crazy. And The Gods Must Be Crazy. And the point wasn't to say that, you know, the Bushmen were technologically advanced, but to me, I mean, it seemed like, well, they were adapted to their surroundings and they were happy in their surroundings, and that they didn't have to be technologically advanced in order to have a certain amount of, I guess you could call it nobility, dignity. They were dignified in their own way. Now, what happened after the movie, it became an international sensation. And the it was popular in Japan, and the Japanese television studio flew the Bushman star from this movie, who was a Bushman who lived basically like Bushman, flew him out to Tokyo, and they put him on a bunch of TV shows, which there were some people who said, you know, this is cruel. How can you take somebody from the bush and bring them to, you know, the most modern city in the world, and then send them back to the bush and expect them to get on with their lives?
I don't think you can. In fact, it's a very interesting point to make, because there are tribes that have never had any contact with the outside world. They have been completely isolated. And the interesting thing about the idea of Wakanda being technologically advanced and isolationist is a very interesting but contradictory idea. You see, every technologically advanced nation are actually pioneering by their very nature. It seems like advanced technology come from a pioneering spirit, and it's generally the isolated nations that are the least technologically advanced. So you can go to certain rainforests, certain tropical areas, and find tribes today that have never had any contact with the outside world. They've never had any contact with technology or the West or Western man. And these are not technologically advanced wonderlands that kept themselves to themselves. They're in fact, you know, and I'm not to say they're backward sounds harsh, because really, as you said, they're not. They're perfectly adapted to their own environment, and they have lived that way for generations, and there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever, and I'm certainly not knocking it. These people have a right to live like that, and I certainly wouldn't want to disturb them or try to drag them in any way, like you say, into a world where they would be unfamiliar. But it's almost at odds, the whole idea of Wakanda being an isolationist place where they've never gone and explored, they've never pushed their barriers forward, they've never expanded, there's never been any pioneering spirit. That's completely at odds with the idea of technological advancement.
And it's completely at odds
from a human point of view.
It's completely at odds with African history, actually. You know, you talk about these isolated tribes. I was talking about Bushmen. And the Bushmen are they're very racially distinct. They are very different, actually, from the bulk of South Saharan Africans, and have been, according to some studies, for some 150,000 years, they've been divergent from the rest of humanity. They're really the oldest race. And of course, there were pygmies, a very distinct pygmy race in Africa, which has pretty much disappeared. There are some pygmies left, but they're kind of interbred with the main African race. But you look at the Bantu people, who make up most of sub-Saharan Africa, from Central Africa down to South Africa now. And they're more relatively recent arrivals to South Africa, and they pushed west. And you know, these people were not isolated Wakandans. They actually had a certain amount, a limited amount, but a certain amount of contact with the outside world. They gained iron technology, which is pretty advanced. It's more advanced than bronze technology. They kind of skipped over bronze. They got iron technology, and using that iron technology, expanded, pushed their frontiers, and they wiped out the pygmies, largely wiped out the Bushmen, and everyone else in their path. And they remained relatively technologically a backwater, and they didn't develop this iron on their own. It was adopted from outside. And eventually they came in contact with Arabs, and in Timbuktu there's the famous library, but it's hardly the literary center of the world. It never was, but it did have a small literate class. But that's Africa, and you never had a technologically advanced society. You just had it relative to the Mesolithic Bushmen or pygmies. You had a relatively advanced Bantu that did expand and did conquer and displace these other peoples, just the way relatively advanced technological societies in other parts of the world did similar things. I don't know where I'm going with this. You want to save me?
No, it's very interesting. It's very interesting what you're saying. Obviously, when you look at this film, and I will be obviously going through it looking for not just historical inaccuracies, but also, anti-white narratives. And I'm sure that, our sort of basic observations that we've made now, which have been made from a historical perspective, because really, when you talk about issues such as these, you have to look at them from a perspective of what has been, what's gone before, and say, has this happened? How has the world developed? What is the norms for humanity? And already we can see, without even seeing the film, that this bucks all of these norms to create something that never existed and never would. But I'm going to be scouring through it to look for anti-white narratives, to look for the sort of messages that I picked out in my Beauty and the Beast review.
Okay, and we'll all look forward to that. Stay tuned. We have one more segment coming up after the break.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to the show. So we're talking about this movie that takes place in a fictionalized Africa, or at least starts off in a fictionalized Africa. And I guess it kind of leads to this whole, what I might call an African dilemma, because the African countries and the countries run by African diaspora are not nice countries. President Trump had a term for them that had something to do with, you know, a fecal void. I'm not sure what the term was. They're not nice countries. But before colonialism, if you read the accounts of the explorers, you know, Livingston or the Arab explorers, they were not nice countries. They were never nice places to live. And this is kind of the dilemma that these people the societies that they lived in before colonialism and after colonialism, they were violent. It was, you know, it's might makes right. And frankly, a lot of slavery even today, and a lot of cannibalism even today. And they're bringing, apparently Nigerian gangs are bringing cannibalism with them to Italy and other places in Europe. What are we to do with this African dilemma, especially with the African population exploding? And this is the one thing that you can blame colonialism on, is the exploding African population, which if you're an African, it's great. You were born. You wouldn't have otherwise been born. But for the rest of the world, I don't know. What do we do with this?
Very difficult question, Patrick.
Sorry to give it to you all of a sudden.
No, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but I mean, I addressed some of these things in the recent video I made about slavery and how essentially Africans who come to the West, they have a huge chip on their shoulder about slavery. And the first thing to point out is the biggest slave trade in the world wasn't the transatlantic slave trade. It was the Islamic or Arab slave trade. That's the first thing to point
out. And probably the intra-African slave trade.
Yes, and that was the other thing I was going to point out, that it's a big misnomer that we went to Africa and rounded these people up. We didn't. We purchased these people from other African tribes who had conquered them in war. In fact, the Ashanti Empire was built largely on wealth generated from selling slaves, other African slaves, to the European slave forts that lined the coast. And that's just an unfortunate and uncomfortable fact for many of these people who try to claim that Africa was somehow a peaceful continent full of, you know, people who just wanted to sort of get on with their lives, almost like, again, a utopia. And we arrived and ruined it with colonialism. And that's simply not the case. And in fact, long after we had outlawed slavery and emancipated all slaves in the Western world, the slave trade continued on in Africa. And it was actually the British who repeatedly tried to persuade different African rulers to put an end to slavery.
Well, I am hearing our bugle call, but we will look forward to having you back next Monday with a review of this movie. I'm sure it'll be very insightful. And until then, well, check out Mark's YouTube channel, follow him on Twitter, and stay tuned for more great radio on RBN and another exciting episode coming up tomorrow on National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.